I'm doing okay, like Oklahoma.
I got pulled over by a cop once in Oklahoma.
Well, what happened?
This cop pulled us over, had us sit in the back of the police car, and he was pretty convinced that they were going to bust us for something as soon as he saw the instruments in the van. I mean, he was like a cowboy, like cowboy cop that you see. I mean, he was like, yeah, we're going to lock you boys up. Like, out of the car, long hair. I can say for sure that I don't like Oklahoma now because of that experience.
You don't like Oklahoma cops.
Yeah, cops. Hey, boys, let's go bust up another band.
Yep. When they dismissed you, you were like, okay, go.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's where okay, go got their name.
Oklahoma, go. Yeah, yeah, that probably is what it is.
I've been to Broklahoma a few times in my life.
Broklahoma. Citizens of Earth, welcome to Accelerative Thrust. I'm Dan.
And I'm Eric.
And I'm okay.
You're okay. Okay. You're okay.
We're okay, and nothing's bad.
Well, I don't know about all that, but we're okay.
Well, right I was
now.
Trying to.
We're right now. We're
I was okay. Trying to think of there's an MXPX song called "I'm Okay, You're Okay," and I don't think that the following lyrics are nothing's bad, but anyway, I was trying to think of it, and then I ended up going into sorry.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been wandering aimlessly lately. Just that's what I've been up to lately. Wandering aimlessly.
Cool. That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun. You learn very quickly who your friends and enemies are
when you're wandering
aimlessly. You got to be doing it aimlessly. You can wander all you want, but if you do it with any aim, then it doesn't work as well as aimlessly.
So you're the type of guy who likes to wander around. Is that what I'm hearing?
You got to make sure it's aimlessly, though. I mean, you got to really specify that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's,
like that's Kramer true. On Seinfeld.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He's a wanderer.
Yeah, he wanders aimlessly.
He wanders round and round and round and round and round. I'm just going to keep singing the song. I don't care.
let me give some context to why I said that.
Okay.
I saw an episode of Seinfeld today.
Mm-hmm.
And in that episode, Kramer gets a job.
Oh, I watched that same episode like 3 days ago.
Seen that same? Okay, yeah. So
holy shit! There's a goddamn wolf that just ran by my back door.
Oh,
or something.
Oh, that's
sorry, unrelated.
No, that's all right. I thought you were gonna be
what
like,
the fuck?
I can't believe that we watched the same.
Holy
episode.
Shit! You know that is actually pretty amazing. Sorry, it was overshadowed by some kind of canid in my backyard running
Dude,
by. All I saw was a like a big curly tail, like curved, not curly like a pig. That'd be weird, you know, like curved like a wolf. What were we talking about? Oh,
the Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, he gets a job, and he doesn't really have a job, but he's going
in. Anyway, yep. He's like, they're like, how much are you paying? He's like, oh, no, I don't want any pay. I'm doing this for myself.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been wandering aimlessly. And then Jerry's like, now that you mention it. That's why I said that.
That is really odd, though.
Yeah.
Super funny. Super funny show.
Yeah, yeah.
What a good show. What else has been going on?
It's a great show. Well, not much else. Just basically the same old, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Debt, health problems, you know? Yeah.
Just classic American problems, issues, life.
Yep.
Life is issues.
Life is issues. That is
why else would you get out of bed if you didn't have to fix your issues?
Korn even named their fourth album Issues.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they must have thought that life was issues too, and peachy at the same time.
Yeah, right. That's what I was just thinking. Wow. Yeah.
Dang, we're really on together, the same corn. Wavelength yeah. already, Eric.
Yeah.
Watch the same God. Seinfeld episode, thinking of the same Korn album titles.
I love Korn.
I only know one.
Oh, is it an album Korn? Title.
No, well, I guess I know two then. Yeah, the other one was Life is Peachy. So,
yeah.
So it worked out that that's the one we referenced. That,
yeah, definitely.
That's all I got.
You know, it's weird. I've only listened in full to the first two, Life is Peachy and the first one.
No, not everyone has to like it to be the best.
Yeah. But I know every single other album title.
Wow.
For some reason. Like, there's Follow the Leader.
Yeah.
There's.
Yeah, right.
Untouchables. There's Korn 2 and Korn 3.
Because Korn is awesome.
Yeah. And Korn flavored Uncrustables.
Korn Uncrustables.
Yeah. Isn't that one of the albums you just said?
Uncrustables. Is that the peanut butter and jelly? Sort yeah. of like
and
fusion thing.
Yeah, a little life hack here for y'all. Toast them. I'm not kidding. It'll change your life. But give it a couple seconds to cool off because that hot jelly will burn the shit out of your face. So two life hacks. Toast your own Uncrustables and let them cool down a little bit. Pretty good.
Yeah,
this is important shit. I mean, I'm glad we recorded this episode tonight.
Absolutely. I'm sure that they sell them in Iowa and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does Uncrustable still exist, or is it one of those?
Yeah. Oh,
they man. Do. Okay. Mm. Oh, you, sounds like you sounds like you know this, Eric.
Well, yeah, it's a hiking thing. It's a hike hack.
That's
a hike hack. which is kind of like a kayak. But it's not. You can have a kayak hike hack, though, if you wanted. Wow. But no, man. You put a frozen Uncrustable in your pack.
Uh-huh.
And then by the time you're ready to eat on your hike, it's ready to go. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds delicious. Yeah. I mean, it's
so that peanut is butter and jelly. Backpack hike hack.
Backpack hike hack.
It's better than my Ipecac hike hack. Which just means you barf all over.
So let me get this straight. Drink some Ipecac and then you throw up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Into your backpack.
Into your backpack.
Right.
And what you're throwing up, of course, is the Uncrustable because you just ate it.
Right.
And you drank some Ipecac while hitting a high cack.
You got it.
Okay, gotcha.
Pretty straightforward.
This is take notes, listeners, because this is we're gonna test you on the next episode.
Oh my God.
I
already am sick of us right now. We got a lot to get to today. We do important business, and that's
and
not actually, a joke.
Actually, yeah, this is important because it is, in fact, we're gonna be celebrating for the second year on this podcast. A very important music festival called Mission Creek Festival in Iowa City.
Right.
Yeah. Once again.
I can talk a little bit about it, just a little.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I'm going to talk about Mission Creek for just a minute, and then I'm going to segue into something else that recently happened in Iowa City, and it's important, and so I'll get to that in a second, too. But sure. Mission Creek started in 2006. By Andre Perry and Tanner Illingworth. Basically they've been bringing really eclectic, cool, impressive level bands to Iowa City since then. And the idea basically is that the shows are held all around basically the downtown area so that they're all kind of close. And it is super fun, and it basically turns into like a music crawl instead of like a bar crawl. It's like you can go see one show and then hop over to another venue and see another show, or you can check out one band at one show and go to another place. It's like seriously one of the most fun things that I've experienced in this town, and I've been here for quite a while. My favorite show that I've seen lots of cool bands. But the one that really stands out to me happened in the 2018 Mission Creek Festival, for a couple reasons. Black Moth Super Rainbow is one of my favorite bands of all time. They don't play out very much. They're anonymous. And so that doesn't really lead to them playing shows a lot. And it was the last show I got to see with my friend Sean. And it's mind-blowing. I can't even actually differentiate that experience from a dream. Like, that's how much it transported me. And I think everyone that goes to Mission Creek probably has had some situation like that at a show where they're just like, I can't believe what's happening right now. So that's super, super cool. The other side of this is in 2009, Chris Wersema got involved in Mission Creek and definitely expanded sort of the circumference of what kind of bands were on the bill. And he brought in a lot of just outrageously cool stuff. But last week, Chris passed away. I'll just talk about him for a second. Because to be honest, I think we were friends, but I wasn't crazy close to him. I know a lot of people were much closer to him. So I don't want to present my ideas as like, I know everything about him, because I didn't. But we did know each other and we were friends. He was an amazing person. Honestly, just sort of the absolute center of the Iowa City music scene, like just the core. Like, so he was so integral to this scene that I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do now, but we'll figure it out. I think everyone just has to work a little bit harder to make things happen and support each other a lot. And he just, I don't know, he worked really hard and selflessly to bring amazing, interesting, and rare music to our town. Things that honestly we didn't deserve to see, is how I would put it. Pretty mind-blowing. He has been booking shows and playing shows here since 2006. So if you are a musician who's played shows or gone to shows in Iowa City, basically in the last 20 years, Chris has impacted your life. So, and on a personal note, he always validated my art. He hired me to do flyers for the mill a long time ago. He wrote the only review for my album, and it was a beautiful, validating review. And just he would talk to anyone. He talked to me, and I always felt like he really was hearing my ideas about music and art, and it's just a huge loss. I always wanted him to be a guest on this podcast, but I honestly thought he was too big of a get for us, you know, for our rinky dink ass show. And I still think that that this is too small of a show for him to have been on, but I wish I would have asked him anyway. And my thoughts go out to all of his friends and family and everyone in the scene. And, you know, we'll get through it, and it's just going to be difficult for a while. So that's all I really have to say about it.
Yeah. Rest in peace to Chris. It's, it's really, really tragic. I didn't know Chris, but I can tell just from the outpouring of reactions to his death that he certainly did impact the Iowa City music scene. And I know that he was a big part of the Feed Me Weird Things.
I didn't even bring that up. Feed Me Weird Things, like that series of shows, and then the Feast Festival are just outrageous, the level of bands that he, or, and acts that he brought here is just unbelievable.
Yep.
But let's get back to Mission Creek. So sure. How this works is, this is how we did it last year. And I swear I thought I had different ideas of how to make it better, but I forgot those ideas. So we're going to follow the same format that we did, which is basically both of us are going to pick more of what would be considered a national act. And then we're both going to pick one, what would probably be considered more of a local act. I think that gives kind of a nice spectrum of what kind of things are happening here and who's involved. So we're going to have four reviews. Mm-hmm. Usually we have three, not that much different. I think you can, it probably won't be any longer. So it shouldn't really matter. Let's get started.
Come on, everybody. It's
Mission Creek
time. Well, let's go ahead and do it. So I just want to preface this by saying, do not sleep on any of the other acts that are playing Mission Creek. I looked at the lineup, and there's a lot of really, really cool stuff that is going to be coming to Mission Creek this year. So much so that I actually had a little bit of trouble picking out who I was going to pick out.
Mm-hmm.
But it also wasn't that hard because the national act that I picked is actually somebody who I've been listening to for quite a while now, off and on, and that is the OCs, who are a band founded by John Dwyer from San Francisco. They are now based in LA. It started out as a solo project of John's, but eventually it became sort of like a Queens of the Stone Age or Today is the Day, not in sound, but the way that they rotate members kind of with every album. Right now, the current lineup is Tim Hellman on bass, Dan Rincon on drums, Paul Quattrone on drums, and then Thomas Dolas on keyboards and occasional guitar. So I had no idea. I knew that they had a lot of albums, but the latest album that they've put out was in 2023, not too long ago, less than a year ago, called Intercepted Message. I knew they put out a lot of albums, but this is actually the 28th album from the OCs. And one of the most interesting things about the OCs, I think, is sort of how diverse they actually are. Throughout the OC's career, they've touched on psychedelic folk music, anti-folk music, new wave, punk, metal, prog rock, jazz type stuff, even a little bit of maybe like chamber pop and things like that. You know, you can tell just from listening to the OC's discography that John Dwyer is really interested in experimentation in different genres of music. This record happens to be a really heavily new wave influenced garage punk record. The synths, I think, for the most part, are maybe the most prominent instrument. They seem to be highlighted at the forefront of everything. The vocals are kind of like, I would say, like John Dwyer's sort of trademark, kind of choppy, almost yelled vocals, and then with a lot of effects on them. Sometimes it's kind of, it seems purposely sort of buried in the mix so that the music kind of just comes to the forefront. Sometimes there's a lot of, it's definitely not a jammy record by any sense. It definitely is very controlled, but I do think that there's a lot of kraut rock influence here. And the songs are often repetitive, but there's a lot of different sounds that sort of keep appearing. Like there's sort of like this buildup of the repetition, if you will. Yeah, a lot of really cool ambient sounds. I think that the production is really cool. All of the instruments just sound really awesome. And it's really just a fun album to listen to. Definitely some no wave type stuff going on as well. Some of it sort of dancey. Some of it is a little absurd. And I definitely do think that there are some songs that have a sense of humor presented with them. Overall, I just sort of think that this was a fun record. But it also has like a dark tinge to it as well. I think, you know, there's some content on here that sort of is dark humor, I guess you could say. But yeah, the guitars are very angular sounding. Sometimes they're not necessarily playing notes, but just sort of making sounds and screeches over top of the bass, which is a trademark of No Wave. So that's where I definitely think that comes from. And yeah, just overall, I don't really have much more to say about it other than I really, really just enjoyed this record. And I think if you like the OCs, you'll really like this record. Some of the stuff it reminded me of, Six Finger Satellite, Brainiac, and Liars for sure. A little bit of Talking Heads, definitely Tube Way Army. Huge influence from Tube Way Army, I heard. Wall of Voodoo, Ty Segall, CIA. Yeah, just overall, I thought that this was a really, really fun, like I said, new wave garage rock record. What did you think, Eric?
Yeah, so, I knew what the OCs sounded like. I haven't listened to too much, but, I'm familiar. This wasn't what I thought the OCs sounded like. It was really different. But I liked it. I think the elements that I thought the OCs had were still there. Very garage punk, psych, tons of effects, all that kind of stuff. And so all that was there, but it was also, like Dan said, synthy, super new / no wavy. I even thought there was some like disco-y dance punk involved, honestly. It was really cool. I'm trying not to just blow through this review because honestly, I think if you describe what it is, then you've kind of described what it is and what it sounds like. It's very angular, sparse, energetic, wild. Yeah, synthy, no wave dance punk stuff. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I think the songs are really cool, really smart arrangements. That sparseness that I spoke of, like I said, what I've heard of the OCs, I thought was very dense and layered and just, really psych laden reverbs, delays, all that crazy stuff. And this has some of that, but the parts are really separated and really, really come through and are like strong. I don't know exactly how to say that. You hear everything. Nothing's buried, really. The vocals sometimes, but as far as the music goes, this is really crisp and cutting and not as like psyche as I OC stuff that I've heard. But yeah, the performances are really cool. I don't have a single bad thing to say about it. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, from what I've heard of the OCs before this record, I would say, even if you think you know what the OCs sound like, you should check this record out because I felt it was really different. But yeah, I have a different list of for fans of or things it reminded me of. I don't think it's that different at its core, but the bands are different. So, if you like the stuff Dan said, you'd probably like it. And if you like the stuff I say, you'll probably like it. But I thought it had a very deep Cars feel to it, really like kind of aping the Cars at some points. I think there was a lot of the same sounds that Jay Retard uses. I would not say that this was influenced by that, but maybe shared the same influences as Gang of Four, The Faint, Cherry Cheeks, and that sort of disco-y element, kind of like Hot Hot Heat, But yeah, I thought it was really, really cool. Gotta mention the cover art is sick. I usually don't talk about cover art, but I think I will talk about cover art on at least two of these records today. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. And I don't know what else to say about it. So yeah, the OCs, Intercepted Message. We'll be right back. Yeah. So my pick for the more like national, the national release, we'll call it, was a project called Armand Hammer, like A-R-M-A-N-D, Hammer, Armand Hammer. The record's called We Buy Diabetic Test Strips. Armand Hammer is Billy Woods and Euclid with a lot of other guests. So I think if you're familiar with those two projects, then you sort of know what you're getting into a little bit. But yeah, this is like the only thing I could think of really to describe it is hard to grasp. Hip hop, I would say it's glitchy, but I don't mean glitchy like brain dance stuff, like Aphex Twin or something. Not that kind of glitch. Glitchy like made wrong. Like it has glitches, you know? And what I mean by that is the samples make very little sense. Like they really don't a lot of the time. I think as the record goes on, those samples sort of shape up and the songs do sort of take on a little bit more of a standard form, but not completely. It's just a little more accessible. But yeah, the timing of the samples and the drums for the most part are just like ignored, but like perfectly ignored. Like it's really fun to listen to, but like I said, really hard to understand. And this is the weirdest part of this record for me. It has a lot of sounds that make you sort of question your reality. So let me explain. When you're listening to this, there's all kinds of things happening in the music that make you like take your earbud out and go, what the fuck's going on? Because there'll be like doorbells or like Siri talking or like just sounds that happen in our modern lives, you know? And it's really disorienting. Like, and I really loved it. Like they totally tricked me a couple times. And I love it. I don't think that was the intent, was to like trick people. I really think it was to like disorient people. And I think they accomplished that really well. The rapping is great. The lyrics are deep, yet kind of clever and funny too. So you kind of get the best of both worlds there. Like it's not, there's not a lot of posturing and bragging and violence and things like that. But it's not all silly either. But yeah, there are crazy effects added to everything. Like every single sound has been altered by adding effects. So there's like pitch shifting and delays and reverbs, things are chopped. And this applies to the vocals too. Like the vocals, there might be like a really high-pitched counterpoint in the rap. I mean, like chipmunk level, you know, or like equally as low, you know, like a giant talking or something, like, and just vocoder pitch shifting. It's all really crazy stuff. Delay coming on certain words, you know, to emphasize that and just kind of spiraling the feedback out of control on that delay. Really, really wild. Like, about to fall apart pretty much the whole time. But somehow it's still kind of funky and soulful, and some of the samples are kind of jazzy, but they're really, yeah, just chopped up, strange. I do have to say the closing track is called Dove, and it really breaks away from what the rest of the record has been, and it's a really cool closer for this album. It's kind of a bit of a reprieve after all the chaos you've just endured. I don't know much about hip hop. The hip hop I do know about is sort of in this vein, but still I don't have the depth of knowledge that a lot of other people do. So things that reminded me of Run the Jewels, that Gonja or Ganja Sufi we reviewed a while back, Danny Brown, maybe like some Saul Williams, just as far as like the samples used and clipping possibly as well. But like I said, I'm only putting all those things together because to me, they're sort of in this experimental hip hop realm. And so I really enjoyed it. I thought it was super cool. Like I said, really hard to wrap your head around. And that implies that ultimately you do wrap your head around it. I should say impossible to wrap your head around. That's basically my review. So what'd you think, Dan?
Yeah, I thought this was rather amazing. Arm & Hammer has been on my radar for quite a while because I am a fan of both Billy Woods and Elucid. I would say Billy Woods slightly more than Elucid, but what I've heard of Elucid is really cool. And this is, like Eric has said, one of the most experimental hip-hop records I have ever heard. The way that Eric described how it makes you question your reality, I mean, that is perfect. There is a lot of strange, interesting sounds on this record. Stuff that I've never heard done on a hip-hop record, for sure. Some of it kind of reminds me of Anti-Pop Consortium, the way that they used to kind of sample, like they would sample like mm-hmm. ping pong balls, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. But there's this one part in one of the songs where I actually had to stop my headphones, because I always believe that when you're mm-hmm. listening to a record like this, it's best to listen to it through headphones. Mm-hmm. Because there is stuff that you just don't pick up on any other way. There's a one part where there's like a phone ringing, and I had to literally like stop because I thought my phone was ringing. Yeah, like, so I totally get where you were coming from there, Eric, in your review about how they totally tricked you. But I think, you know, I can't help but think that was probably part of the plan. So Billy Woods and Elucid are, they either were or still are, I think still are part of a label called Backwoods Studios, which kind of seems to be the newest label for the abstract underground stuff. Yeah, it's just really unconventional. It totally was not what I expected it to be, actually. I was expecting it to be underground, gritty, boom bap type stuff, like backpacker rap or whatever. There's a little bit of that going on. But I think there's a lot more going on here than just that. Like, a lot more. I mean, the production is very dreamlike. And actually, like, I just remember closing my eyes and just listening to the beats, and it's really trancy, like almost like trip hop or something like that. But I think there's a lot of stuff that is kind of influenced by like vaporwave or like even like shoegaze. And there's a lot of, not a lot, but there definitely is some noise going on there as well. The drums are very, very gritty. Like, it is not a clean production, but it's a really well done production. And I think it communicates exactly what it's supposed to with the production. Definitely is kind of in the vein of sort of lo-fi, but not really lo-fi. I think it kind of is just sort of the evolution from, you know, something like maybe Cannibal Ox or something, and mm-hmm. like, you know, mm-hmm. 10 years ago or something like that. Just there's a lot, it's a very dense record, but you can really sort of, it's also relatable, I think. Yeah, the lyrics are definitely sort of the human condition and kind of like what's going on right now. Yeah, a lot of the guest MCs are really awesome. JPEG Mafia is on like three of the mm-hmm. tracks. And I really like what he's been putting out lately. There was a track with LP. However, I gotta say, I actually did not recognize LP's voice on the track. Hmm. So I don't know if LP just, maybe he did the production on the track, or maybe it was LP just sort of rapping in a different tone or something. Hmm. Pierre of Soul Glow is on this record.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's awesome. And then there was a few others. I can't remember who they were at the moment, but yeah, the MCs, I mean, Billy Woods and Elucid, they're kind of veterans at this point. I mean, I think both of them have been around since the early 2000s, and it seems like they're kind of now getting their getting some recognition. I think that's awesome. And I think Backwoods Studios has really helped that. So yeah, as far as the stuff that this reminds me of, Makami, a lot. Earl Sweatshirt, for sure. Homeboy Sandman, Aesop Rock, a little bit of Raheem Supreme, Al Davino, Saul Williams, Dalek, Cannibal Ox, and literally every artist that Eric mentioned.
Nice.
Because I agree with you 100% about your picks. I think if you're a fan of any of those artists, you'll be a fan of this. So yeah, Arm & Hammer, you buy diabetic masters.
Nice.
10 out of 10.
Groove me on the one, fucking 2-3. Once upon a blue dream, been in cream and linen, watching blood on the moon trip. Drag bones to the boom bit, new light exploding back from the womb pit. New myths, new names. I'ma scream my way out. I'm all the way in. Taking pause, if you can lose, you can find it. Tell me what it said, no detail concealed. It's all in the field, naming names, even when it hurts. Purpose of the pain, back in places, cycles, residual loops, skin of tooth, been pressed for a few. We the only blacks in the rock climb. There's no comfort in facts sometimes. Speak it out my mouth, with the truth knocked out. When the gold got shaped, when the old reverse said, tell the truth. They said I had to hold my head, they said I had to hold my head. I felt more like myself.
The artist that I picked as my local artist, who is playing the Mission Creek Festival this year, is Anthony Warden and the Illiterati. The name of this record is How Could We Lose When We're So Sincere? Anthony Warden is an Iowa City-based musician, and his backing band, the Illiterati, consists of Ellie Hoffmeyer on vocals, Avery Moss on keyboards and vocals, Capel Howarth on bass and vocals, and Aaron Knight on drums. And I just thought that this was a fantastically written and fantastically produced record. I believe it was recorded by Luke Tweedy, from Flat Black Studios in Lone Tree, Iowa. And it is just a collection of great songs showcasing an endless amount of talent. I mean, the best way for me to describe this record, it almost feels like a variety show to me. It just, every song is different. And every song has like just a cast of musicians that you can just tell know their instrument just in and out. And it just, I don't know, it blew me away. Both Anthony and Ellie have amazing voices. Ellie actually sings the first track, and it's kind of almost like a soul number, and she just kills it. Anthony has just this really great sort of indie rock style voice. I know that that's a very general way to describe it, but I think he's just got great range. It touches on so many different genres like soul, R&B, indie rock, folk rock, new wave, a little bit of glam, a little bit of electronica, Americana, but it all is just so connected in this stew of musicality. And the content of the lyrics also, I think, just really explores what it's like to be alive. I found myself singing along to a couple of the songs by the time they were over. Now, this record was released in 2021, so this is the latest record that Anthony Warden has put out, but he does have a new record dropping sometime soon. So I kind of wonder if that's going to be sort of in conjunction with Mission Creek, but stay tuned for that. But yeah, just overall, really, really enjoyable listen. And kind of like how I talked about how Squeeze was sort of like a masterclass in songwriting, that's how I would describe this as well. I just really think it was that good. Now, the difficult part for me was thinking of stuff that it reminded me of. And so some of these, I guess you could say it kind of reminded me more of maybe the aesthetic more than the actual sound. But the Beatles, I think it would be fair to say that that was a huge influence on a lot of this stuff. REM, the Shins, the Beach Boys, Fiona Apple. But then like some of the more dancey stuff or like glam stuff, like reminded me of like, I don't know, Simple Minds or Tears for Fears, maybe a little bit of David Bowie. I think there also was kind of an Elvis Costello influence kind of going on here as well. But yeah, overall, I really, really enjoyed this record. What did you think, Eric?
Yeah, Anthony Warden. I liked this a lot. I unfortunately don't know Anthony Warden very well, or the members of the band, as far as I know. I think I bought a Jazz Chorus amp from Anthony Warden once. But we didn't get too close, you know, during that transaction. But anyway, I really liked it. It was modern, yet like nostalgic. And I also said it was really glammy, which is weird. Indie, super soul tinged in some places very much. And then a big dose of yacht rock, in my opinion, too. Mm. But all of those things, yeah, they really kind of harken back to a different time. Really, like Dan said, solid performances all around. The great drums, guitar, keys, especially electric piano. That's sort of where that yacht rock feel comes from for me. Saxophone. There's a big old French horn in one song that I thought was beautiful. That specifically reminded me maybe of like parts of the Air Moon Safari record where they put some big French horns in. Anyway, the vocals are really cool. Many different vocalists. A lot of the time taking like a solo role in the songs. Sometimes they sing together as well, but you really get some nice spotlights on the vocals. But yeah, it really was nostalgic to me, but at the same time, a really forward-thinking record, and it felt like a new take on old ideas, and I thought that was really cool. My Exploding Plastic Heart is Sweeter Than Reason is a song that is really cool. It goes through about 10 different styles of music, which to me sort of like a singular example of how eclectic this project is. Like this one song sort of encapsulates that level of, you know, diversity and what they're presenting. I thought it was really cool. Yeah, definitely check it out. I honestly think you'll like it. And to which degree sort of depends on how much you like the styles of music they sort of take on. But they couldn't have done it better. I don't know if anyone could. So I think it was really amazing. It's funny that you mentioned Squeeze because they were my number one recommended, if you like, things that remind me of sort of whatever that list is. Squeeze was the first one. Of Montreal, as far as the approach to just mixing all this stuff in together, keeping it upbeat, keeping it fun, there was just kind of a similar vibe for me as of Montreal. As far as the soul stuff, a lot of like Dexy's Midnight Runners in there, which I know everyone thinks of them as a one-hit wonder. I love them. I think they're amazing. And one of the coolest soul bands of all time. I put down Seals and Croft. Those electric pianos very much just sent me straight back to like 1977. There's nothing I could do about it. I also said the Shins. And as far as the glammy stuff, there was a glamminess to it, but also a theatrical element to it that made me think a lot of Roxy Music. And also not being afraid of just exploring everything they could is a similar thing. So yeah, I loved it. I think everyone will. So you should check it out. Anthony Warden, How Could We Lose When We're So Sincere?
Great album title.
Yeah, good stuff. So for my local pick, I picked a group called 24 Thank You, and that's one word. I mean, two numbers and two words, but they're all crammed together. 24 Thank You. And the title is Everything I Was Burning Slow. This was cool. This was like kind of a big surprise for me because I had never heard 24 Thank You. I don't think I know the members, who happen to be Emma Parker, Ethan Trow, Michael Malena, Scott Griffin, and Nick Wilkins. Sorry if I messed your names up. But yeah, I just had no idea people were making this kind of music in town and making it so well. I mean, it just is really amazing stuff. I think most, if not all, of everyone is from Iowa City, but definitely from Iowa. Super chill, atmospheric, creative, smart, unrelentingly interesting and enjoyable. I did say, you know, that it's chill and atmospheric, but I don't want you to think it's like ambient music, because it's not. It's not just sit back and let it kind of wash over you music either. There are elements and moments of that for sure. But overall, I think it's just like a really seamless blend of like alt folk, maybe electronic, hyper pop, dream pop, chill wave, like all kinds of like thoroughly modern things are represented here, but it's presented in a way that it just feels, it doesn't feel like a group trying to be modern. They just are. You can tell when people are trying to be something, and I don't get that from this. I think this feels very, very true to what it is. Really amazing production. Like, I'm not exactly sure where it was recorded. There wasn't a lot of information on the Bandcamp page, but it sounds amazing. It sounds as good as anything. Super cool instrumentation and arrangements, really awesome performances. The vocals are really cool. And one element of it I liked was sometimes there would be like an overdubbed vocal. So like two vocals from the same person, or maybe they were not doubled, but actually two people singing, but like a double female vocal that sound, it kind of reminded me of like Brand Band 3000 at moments, but really cool. All the vocals are cool. They use a full spectrum of like guitar sounds, what guitars can sound like. There's kind of like overblown rock guitars at moments, very small moments, but then there's a lot of acoustic guitar, a lot of slide guitar, which is overwhelmingly ignored in a lot of music, and I think it's a really useful and cool sound, and I think it's great on here. The programming's cool, the synths are cool, the drumming is cool, the drum programming is cool, the vocoder, like literally everything about this I pretty much adored. And I can't really say much more than that. The cover is really cool. To me, it looks like sort of like a mannequin head, maybe being photographed from underneath or something. And if this is a picture of a real person, I'm sorry that I called you a mannequin, but it just kind of has a look to it like that. As far as things that reminded me of, washed out, beach house, the Chromatics, Black Moth, Super Rainbow, as far as like the synth worship involved here, cigarettes after sex, as far as like maybe the vibe, the chillness of it all. And I always say it wrong. Maybe Dan, you can help me. Boniver. Is that right?
I think you're right there, Eric.
Okay. Boniver. Yeah.
I used to think it was Bon Iver.
Yeah, I thought it was Bon Iver. So we're all
yeah,
wrong.
I used to think it was that too.
But sort of the idea of like folk or alternative folk or whatever, indie folk, with sort of like vocoded singing, or at least pitch shifted singing, and that creates like a really cool sound. There's a lot of that in here too. Like I said, I was blown away, and I love it, and that's about it. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I thought this was very, very interesting. I mean, this was really, really cool. And yeah, it's cool that this is happening, you know, in Iowa City, because I don't think there's really anybody else who I can say is really doing this kind of thing in this area right now. It's the only way that I can really describe it would be like modern indie dream pop kind of, but I don't know, that also sounds very limiting, like, because mm-hmm. I do think there's a lot more to it than just that. I think there's some really cool recording techniques kind of going on here. I don't know what they are. I can't describe them, but there is a certain aesthetic and feel to this that is really unique. It almost kind of sounds like at times that it was just sort of recorded in like a bedroom. So, and I don't really want to say that it sounds like bedroom pop, but there are parts of it that kind of do to me, which I think is awesome. I like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that is not a dig in any way whatsoever. Some definitely interesting use of effects on both the vocals and the guitars. There's a mixture of acoustic and electric guitars. Some of the drums, I'm not sure if they're all live or if some of them are digital, or maybe mm-hmm. they're all digital drums. I'm not really sure, but I think they did a good job of kind of making it sound like both. There's parts of it that sound like the vocals are using some auto-tune, which I'm not mm-hmm. sure if that's the case or not. It could be just an effect. I know you mentioned vocoder a little bit, mm-hmm. Eric. So either way, it's really cool and adds to the whole like effect of, I mean, it sounds pretty otherworldly, if I'm mm-hmm. being honest.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about it. Some of it even reminds me of, like, I wouldn't necessarily think that it would be out of place next to some of the sort of top 40 pop that's kind of going on these days as well, to be honest. I mean, and you know, that's because I think it's that good, you know, that it stands up to, and I'm not really a huge fan of top 40 pop, but I mean, I think this stuff would actually be better than that, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, like if it was on the radio. But some of it kind of sounds like it might be influenced by like something like Billie Eilish or something like that, you know? But definitely not overall, but I do think the keyboard parts are really, really cool. And I really like the singer's voice. It's just fantastic stuff. The stuff that this really reminded me of, Water From Your Eyes, quite mm-hmm. a bit. I would say maybe a little bit of Cat Power. Definitely the Chromatics, for sure. That's actually one of the first things that came to mind. Galaxy 500. This next one is going to sound maybe a little weird, but I do think that there's a huge hip-hop influence on this as mm-hmm. well. I hear like some of the production of Brockhampton on here a little bit. Beach House, Beck, and the Flaming Lips, especially like the later, more abstract flaming lips, like something from like the era of like Embryonic or the Terror or something like that. But yeah, overall, this is just really, really great stuff. And I look forward to hearing more from this band. I hope that they put out some more stuff. Mission Creek looks like it's going to be a really, really cool lineup this year.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm hoping to make it to a few. I really want to go see what's going on Sunday at the Trumpet Blossom with like New Standards Men.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a few other acts that are playing it too.
Nice.
Can't think of them right off the bat. I would like to see every single artist that we reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
I think 24 Thank You would be, I would be really interested in seeing what they would do live.
Yeah, me too.
For sure.
Mission Creek rules. Is that what we learned today? What else did we learn? I don't know.
Well, we learned that, I guess that's all we learned today.
Yeah, pretty much. I tried to teach people about Uncrustables.
We talked about peanut butter and jelly, but you know, I was thinking about other culinary combos that are also fantastic, and they all will make you die.
Oh.
Like coffee and donuts.
Wow.
Like,
yeah,
that's a good culinary combo, but it'll make you die.
Yeah.
If you eat too much of it.
True.
I don't know. What else? What else is there?
That's, you know, that's honestly, I like most foods. So if you combine two of them, I'm probably going to like that too.
Yeah, right.
I don't chicken know if I'll like it better, but I'll like it. You know,
chicken and waffles.
I've had chicken and waffles. I liked it. It was good.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. So, all right. There you go.
Yeah.
We learned that.
We learned some stuff.
Well, we learned that if there's two foods that you like, just put them together and it'll
slam
be great.
Slam them together. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's what the Ninja Turtles had to do when they were surviving on pizza in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. Corn flakes and marshmallow pizza.
I would try it, I guess. I'd try a slice. Sure.
There's a website that, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, Eric, because you probably weren't really watching the Ninja Turtles, you know, when it came out. By the time that it came out. But they used to always have weird pizza toppings. I don't know if you remember that or not. Yeah. But anyway, there's a website or a YouTube channel where this guy actually went through every episode and he made every pizza that the Ninja Turtles ever made. Yeah.
And he loved them all?
Oh, I'm sure he loved every single one of them. I'm sure that he loved the sardines and hot fudge pizza that he had to make.
You know, it might work. People have like sea salt, dark chocolate. I think it's probably similar, right?
Without the fishy smell, maybe.
Yeah, that's
true. You ever had sardines?
Yeah, I actually love sardines.
Yeah, I like sardines too, but in chocolate, man, I'm not sure if you could be right.
Are they mustard or hot or just regular sardines?
Oh, I would assume regular sardines.
I mean, I don't know. I'd try it. Actually, I don't know. I just thought about it. I almost barfed.
I was going to say. Maybe not. I mean, you could be right. Like, for example, chocolate-covered potato chips are actually not that bad.
Well, actually, what happened was I was thinking about, like, a sardine dipped in some chocolate or whatever, and that seemed okay. But then okay. I thought about them blended together, and then I that was gross.
On a pizza with tomato sauce too is it's a true. little too much. I mean, I understand sardines on a cracker. That's pretty damn good. Like I especially like them on the Triscuits. Those are pretty good. But
I can see that.
I used to not like anchovies, and I actually love anchovies now.
I don't like them up to this like point. Anchovies? But, you know, I'll keep trying them. I give more chances to things I hate than things I like.
Me too.
I've seen, like, I really liked, I don't know what movie, like Sorry to Bother You. That was a movie I really liked. Mm-hmm. I've seen it twice. But Saw, which I hate, mm-hmm. I've seen like 15 times because I just keep trying. I'm like, is this good? Why does everyone think this is good? And I can never like it, but
I'm so glad that you don't like Saw, Eric, because I also am a huge Saw hater. One movie that I don't like to this day is Child's Play. I'm not a fan of Chucky.
Yeah, he's kind of a bad person.
Yeah, well,
like for real, you know.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. The guy that possessed the good guy's doll and became Chucky.
Yes.
That guy, that he's like a killer or something. Like he's really a bad guy. He says really, I don't know, misogynistic things, and he's really just things. Like, he's just really, I don't know how you can like him except that he's in this little doll body, and that makes it funny or whatever. But
right,
he just seems like kind of an ass.
Yeah, well,
besides all the killing, you know.
Yeah, that's true. All the killing and everything. I mean, that's acceptable at least.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. Not really a reflection of what kind of person you are.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, you can be a good guy and be a murderer, right?
I mean, it depends. I mean, every murderer probably thinks they're right. They're doing the right thing. Oh, yep. Man.
Yeah,
wow.
There's a
what
lot
did
of
we
things.
Learn today? Well, murderers are all right.
Sympathy for the murder.
Yeah.
Oh but okay, so go to Mission Creek.
Mission Creek.
Fun. That's what we need to learn today. We need to learn support the local scenes.
Yeah, support the local scenes, not murderous.
Not murderous dolls.
Right.
That's especially classic. Chucky.
I mean, that's not even something we should have to say on the show.
No,
everyone should already know that.
You blew it.
Yeah,
you blew it.
Yeah, you should know that the local scene is better than murderous dolls. You should already know that.
Yes, murder dolls. The murder local dolls. Scene is better than murder dolls.
That's true, too.
Yeah, because the murder dolls aren't local. They're from all kinds of places, like wherever that dude from Slipknot is from. But anyway.
he is local.
Oh, my
local.
God. He's from Iowa. Oh, geez. I am sorry, Iowa scene.
Yeah, support your local scene, even if they're murderous dolls. That's what we've been trying to say. Even if they're murderous.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right, we need to get out of here. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.